I want you to imagine, like just for a moment, that you are the CEO of a major technology firm.
Okay, that's a pretty good place to be.
Right. So you're sitting in this big boardroom, you know, staring at a massive digital map projected on the wall, and you are tasked with planning a massive corporate expansion. We're talking about a multi-million-dollar manufacturing facility.
A huge investment.
Exactly. Now, what is the single most important factor that dictates exactly where you are going to drop that pin on the map and start pouring concrete?
Well, I mean, for decades, the answer to that was universally simple. It was tax breaks.
Right, you just go wherever the local municipality is willing to offer you the biggest property tax rebate. You shake hands with the mayor and you cut the ribbon.
Yeah, but that era is effectively over. Today, it is no longer about tax incentives. It is about a highly localized, incredibly high-stakes race for technical talent.
Which is wild when you think about it.
It represents a complete paradigm shift in how corporate site selection actually works. You know, you can have the most generous tax abatement in the history of the country, but if you do not have the local brains to run the operation, those tax breaks are completely meaningless.
You just end up with an empty, incredibly expensive building.
Exactly.
Which brings us to the core of today's deep dive. Our mission today is to explore a truly fascinating case study coming out of New Mexico, specifically the city of Rio Rancho and Sandoval County.
It's a great example of this shift in action.
It really is. And we're pulling from a pretty compelling stack of sources today for you. Primarily, we are looking at a report called Quantifying the Rio Rancho Technical Talent Pipeline. And we are cross-referencing that with supporting data from the state's Workforce Solutions reports and the latest cost of living, or COII, index data.
Some really robust data sets there.
Yeah, because we're looking at how one specific region is trying to solve the ultimate modern workforce puzzle. Okay, let's unpack this. Because for a long time, building a local workforce was essentially an exercise in qualitative guesswork, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Huh.
A city would put up a billboard, claim they had a good school system, and just, you know, hope that was enough to attract major industry.
So why is that old qualitative approach suddenly failing so spectacularly?
Well, because knowledge is most valuable when it is applied with precision. And right now, the application across most of the country is just misfiring. What we are seeing in Sandoval County is actually a perfect blueprint for the future of corporate expansion everywhere.
Mean what exactly?
Meaning we are transitioning from an era of, like, hoping the workforce is there to an era that requires mathematical certainty. The stakes are just too high to guess anymore. We are talking about hundreds of millions of dollars in infrastructure that will literally sit idle if the local technical pipeline cannot keep pace with rapid corporate expansion. Yeah, and this hyper-local issue in Rio Rancho, it isn't just an isolated New Mexico problem. It is the exact same friction point that every growing tech hub from Austin to Raleigh is going to face over the next decade.
Okay, so before we get into how Rio Rancho is actually attempting to solve this, we really need to establish why there is this sudden, almost palpable panic in regional tech hiring.
The demand is skyrocketing.
It is. The numbers outlined in the State of the Workforce report are staggering. The New Mexico Department of Workforce Solutions is projecting a massive 10.1% growth in computer and mathematical occupations over the course of the next decade.
Which is an absolute tidal wave when you place it into its proper macroeconomic context.
It really is, because if you look at the standard state occupational growth rate across all other jobs, it is just 3.5%.
Right, so we are talking about tech jobs growing at nearly three times the rate of a normal occupation.
Exactly. And this isn't just abstract pie-in-the-sky future casting either. There are major concrete investments on the line today. Specifically, the sources highlight a $220 million development called Project Ranger.
That's a serious capital injection.
Yeah, and for you listening, it helps to understand what that actually means. We are talking about a massive, state-of-the-art manufacturing facility, the kind of place that doesn't just need manual labor to assemble widgets.
Right. It requires network architects to maintain the robotics and data scientists to optimize the supply chain.
Exactly. You don't spend $220 million without needing a very steady, very reliable influx of highly skilled professionals to keep that kind of operation running. But I do want to push back on the premise here for a
Okay,
second.
go for it.
Isn't talent acquisition ultimately just a problem for corporate human resources? I mean, why should an entire municipality, the local government, care if a private for-profit company has a hard time hiring a database administrator?
Well, that is the traditional way of looking at the divide between the public and private sector. but it completely ignores the macroeconomic reality of a region.
Because to me, building a $220 million facility without a guaranteed local tech pipeline is like building a massive state-of-the-art factory, but completely forgetting to pave any roads leading to it.
That's a great way to put it.
You have the impressive building, but no one can physically get there to work. It just seems like a planning failure on the company's part.
I love that analogy because what's fascinating here is that the roads are exactly what we were talking about, just in human capital form. And the economic friction point that a lack of roads creates is severe.
Right.
If that local labor supply does not expand rapidly to meet that 10.1% growth, you don't just get an annoyed HR director who has to work late. You trigger a localized economic crisis.
How so?
Think about the mechanics of it.
Yeah.
The companies that are already established in the area start fighting over the exact same, very small pool of local candidates.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And that intense competition leads to severe localized wage inflation. Suddenly, smaller local businesses can't afford IT support. Then you get prolonged vacancy cycles where critical engineering or data roles sit empty for months.
Which slows down production.
Exactly. It stifles innovation. And ultimately, what is the final result of that cycle?
The talent flight. They just look around and leave.
Precisely. The brightest analytical minds, the top-tier developers and network security specialists, they look at the local ecosystem, realize it is stagnant and hyper-competitive in the wrong ways, and they pack up.
They move to primary tech hubs like Seattle or Silicon Valley.
Right, where the ecosystems are self-sustaining. When that happens, the municipality loses its high-income tax base, the local economy shrinks, and the corporate employers either stall out completely or relocate their operations. So it is absolutely, fundamentally a municipal problem.
Which brings us to the root cause of this whole dilemma. If the demand is this incredibly clear-like, we know there is 10.1% growth, we know there are massive capital investments like Project Ranger, why aren't the local schools simply producing the right workers?
It seems like a simple fix, right?
Right. If you know you need software engineers, just teach software engineering. But exploring that shifts our conversation from the problem itself to how we are currently shooting in the dark when it comes to training.
Yeah, shooting in the dark is the exact phrase the Sandoval Economic Alliance uses to describe the current dynamic. The issue isn't a lack of effort on the part of educators. It's a fundamental lack of integration.
Yeah, the sources outline that current training partnerships are almost entirely qualitative. They are uncoordinated and completely isolated from real-time market demands.
Right. A high school principal and a community college dean might sit down to design a new curriculum, but they are doing it based on historical anecdotes.
They're looking at what jobs were popular 3 or 4 years ago, not real-time vacancy metrics.
Exactly. And the Sandoval Economic Alliance identifies this specific issue, this massive information asymmetry, as a critical threat to economic development.
Here's where it gets really interesting. The proposed solution isn't just to have more committee meetings between principals and CEOs. They are proposing something that sounds incredibly ambitious for a municipal government.
Yeah, the creation of a localized real-time demand dashboard.
Right.
And this dashboard represents the paradigm shift we mentioned earlier. Corporate site selectors today prioritize a metric called labor density above almost everything else.
Labor density.
Yes. They need to know that a dense pool of qualified labor already exists or is being actively and accurately trained.
Yeah.
You simply cannot prove labor density with historical anecdotes or, you know, a brochure about your nice high schoolers.
You need hard data.
You need a quantitative framework. You need a shared data architecture that acts as a central nervous system connecting public schools, higher education, and private industry.
Let's talk about the mechanics of that, because the real insight here isn't just the technology of a dashboard. It's the behavioral economics behind it.
Very true.
How does this dashboard actually work under the hood without violating corporate secrecy? Because companies usually guard their skill shortages like state secrets, so their competitors don't poach their existing talent.
That is the highest hurdle. To build a functional dashboard, you have to create a neutral data trust.
Okay.
The municipality, or an organization like the Sandoval Economic Alliance, acts as the neutral broker. They set up application programming interfaces, APIs, that plug directly into the local company's human resources databases.
But keeping it secret.
Right. To maintain that competitive secrecy you mentioned, the data is instantly anonymized and aggregated. The dashboard doesn't broadcast. Company X desperately needs 40 Python developers.
It just shows the trend.
Exactly. It says, across Sandoval County, the aggregate demand for Python has spiked 300% in the last 60 days. It outputs a visual heat map of technical skills.
That makes a lot more sense than just having school administrators manually scraping LinkedIn or counting job postings on a website. It gives them actual, actionable data.
Real-time data.
But let's zoom in on the actual institutions tasked with making this happen. Because to truly understand this deep dive, we have to look at the educational bottleneck. We have two main players here in the Rio Rancho pipeline.
Right, the local schools.
Yeah, first, Rio Rancho Public Schools, or RRPS. They are attempting to reshape their secondary curriculum to introduce technical pathways early. Instead of just general computer literacy, teenagers are getting specialized instruction in programming languages, network architecture, and data management.
Which sounds fantastic in theory.
It does.
It does. Catching students early dramatically changes their career trajectory and builds that labor density from the ground up.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a massive inherent risk here when you rely on qualitative planning.
Right. It's the speed of technology versus the speed of bureaucracy. Paint a picture for me. What actually happens when a public high school tries to guess what the market wants without this real-time data?
Okay, let's say a local high school wants to teach web development to meet a perceived demand. They form a committee. 6 months later, they decide to teach a language like PHP because historically a lot of legacy web systems used it.
Right.
So they spend a year training the teachers, securing the budget, and buying the software licenses. The students take the class for 2 years. They graduate, feeling confident and job ready.
And then they walk into an interview at that new $220 million Project Ranger facility.
And the hiring manager looks at their resume and says, "We haven't used PHP in half a decade. Our entire back end is built on Rust and Python."
Oh, wow.
The student is crushed. The school wasted 3 years of resources. And the company still has an empty seat. That is the definition of qualitative guesswork failing. Corporate tech stacks change in months, but high school curriculums take years to approve and implement.
So if RPS doesn't have a real-time dashboard, they run the very real risk of teaching obsolete frameworks. That brings us to the second player in the pipeline, Central New Mexico Community College, or CNM. They provide the mid-tier bridge. They are the ones doing the fast-track certificate programs, associate degrees, and intensive boot camps.
They're the rapid response team.
Yeah. Say a cybersecurity firm moves into the county and suddenly needs a dozen systems administrators. CNM can spin up a targeted boot camp. But the sources note a major risk here, too, a lack of real-time employer data feeds.
Right.
That data lag delays the deployment of the boot camps and drastically increases the time to hire for the companies. But I need to stop you here and push back on the logistics of this solution.
Sure.
I understand that the data feed in this dashboard is automated. The API pings the central trust, the heat map lights up red for Python, and the administrators know what is needed. But teaching is inherently human.
It is.
Even if the dashboard flags a sudden need for Rust programming, a human high school teacher still has to learn that language before they can teach it. A digital dashboard does not magically download a new coding language into a teacher's brain over the weekend.
No, it doesn't.
How does this actually solve the human bottleneck of teacher training?
That is a very sharp critique, and it points to the fundamental friction in any kind of educational reform. You are completely right. A dashboard doesn't bypass human learning. If we connect this to the bigger picture, what it does, however, is buy the institutions the one resource they never traditionally have. Lead time. Okay. Without the quantitative data, schools usually find out about a massive skill shortage when local businesses start complaining in the local press or at city council meetings. By then, it is already a crisis.
It's too late.
Exactly. With the dashboard, the administration sees the aggregate trend line moving upward months before it peaks. If they see a steady month-over-month increase in the requirement for a specific cloud architecture, it gives CNM the empirical mathematical evidence they need to justify the budget to send their instructors to a boot camp immediately.
So they can get ahead of it.
It transitions the educational institutions from a reactive stance to a proactive stance.
Mm-hmm.
The sources refer to matching training output to industrial need with mathematical precision. You are no longer guessing what the market wants. The market is passively, actively transmitting its needs directly into the administrative offices in real time.
Okay, so let's play this out. Let's say Rio Rancho pulls this off. They successfully build the trust. The competing tech companies agree to share their anonymized data. The high schools and the community college are perfectly aligned with corporate HR.
A perfect system.
Right. They are churning out brilliant data scientists and network architects with absolute mathematical precision. What is to stop that highly trained 22-year-old from taking their shiny new skills, packing up their car, and driving straight to Seattle, Austin, or Silicon Valley, where the starting salaries are notoriously astronomical.
Yeah, that raises a crucial question about retention, because training the talent is only half the battle. Keeping them in the municipal ecosystem is the other half.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we have to look significantly beyond just the paycheck.
Yeah.
Labor costs and top-line salaries are only one part of the retention equation.
Because employee turnover skyrockets if workers can't actually afford to live a decent life near their office.
Exactly.
And this is where Rio Rancho has a fascinating hidden weapon that the sources highlight: the cost of living. The reports dive deeply into the COLI 2025 annual average data, and the numbers tell a really compelling story.
They really do. And for you listening, to understand the COL index, you need to know that the national average baseline is always set at exactly 100.0.
Okay, so 100 is ground zero. Anything above is expensive. Anything below is a discount. Where does Sandoval County and Rio Rancho sit?
Their composite cost of living index is 93.1.
So roughly a 7% discount on life just for existing there?
Yes.
How does that compare to the closest major metropolitan area?
It beats the broader Albuquerque metro area, which sits at 96.8.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the overall composite score isn't the most important part. The breakdown of the specific categories is what really matters for retention.
Yeah, the breakdown is what really caught my eye. The housing index for Sandoval Rio Rancho stands at 92.0.
Which is great.
And utilities. Utilities are exceptionally low at 84.7, which is massive if you think about it. If you are a remote tech worker or a hybrid worker running local servers or high-end desktop rigs out of your home office, an 84.7 utility index is essentially a 15% discount just on keeping the lights on and the AC running.
It adds up fast.
So what does this all mean? Translate this for us. What does this specific data mean for the region's ability to keep that 22-year-old from driving to Silicon Valley?
It means we have to look at the holistic value proposition for the worker. For a software engineer, this localized cost of living advantage directly translates to a significantly higher quality of life. In Silicon Valley or New York, a massive six-figure salary might mean you're still living with three roommates in a tiny apartment.
Yeah.
Paying exorbitant utility costs.
True.
In Rio Rancho, that same engineer, even if they are on a slightly lower localized salary compared to the coast, can afford to purchase a home, have incredibly low utility bills, and actually begin building generational wealth in their 20s.
It is a massive compounding win for the corporate HR departments, too. It means there is much lower upward pressure on salaries. The company doesn't have to bankrupt itself trying to match coastal salary inflation year over year, because they can offer a competitive compensation package that simply goes so much further locally.
It creates a perfectly sustainable ecosystem. The core lesson here for any expanding business, and really for you listening, if you are involved in corporate strategy, management, or local government, is that you cannot select a site based on short-term tax rebates anymore.
The math just doesn't work over a 20-year horizon.
Exactly. You must select a site that is actively building a data-driven, quantitative solution to its talent deficit. Rio Rancho is demonstrating that when you combine a highly competitive cost of living with a mathematically aligned, dashboard-driven talent pipeline, you solve the retention problem organically.
It really is a powerful combination when you look at all the moving parts. So let's pull all these threads together to see the big picture. What we are seeing in Rio Rancho is a municipality that genuinely has all the raw materials for a massive tech boom.
Absolutely.
They have the 93.1 cost of living advantage, which is a huge structural advantage for retention. They have the educational institutions ready to act, RPS handling the early exposure in high school, and CNM providing those rapid response mid-tier bridges and boot camps.
They just need to link them up.
Right. What the region urgently needs, the missing puzzle piece that ties it all together, is that shared real-time data infrastructure. That municipal dashboard is the only way they're going to successfully meet that massive 10.1% growth projection in tech jobs without triggering a localized economic crisis of wage inflation and talent flight.
And the sources are very clear on what happens next. There is a direct, urgent call to action for corporate developers, site selectors, and HR directors to contact organizations like the Sandoval Economic Alliance.
They need everyone at the table.
The private sector needs to evaluate this localized labor data, physically tour these training facilities, and advocate for the joint development of this real-time municipal workforce dashboard. Because the government cannot build it in a vacuum. It absolutely requires private industry to be willing to trust the system and open up its anonymized HR data to the public sector.
And getting cutthroat competitors to pool their data requires an immense amount of trust.
It does. But I want to bring this back to you, the listener. Think about your own industry for a moment. Regardless of whether you are in technology, advanced manufacturing, healthcare, or logistics,
it applies everywhere.
Are your company's hiring practices and local training programs based on historical anecdotes? Are you relying on what worked 5 or 10 years ago? Or are they driven by real-time, quantitative data? Are you still shooting in the dark? Or are you demanding a dashboard?
That truly is the multi-million dollar question for anyone trying to scale a business today. And as we wrap up this deep dive into the Rio Rancho talent pipeline, I want to leave you with one final thought to mull over.
Yep.
Something that really struck me as we were analyzing these sources and looking at how closely the schools need to integrate with corporate demands. The reports naturally present this real-time data sharing as an absolute unequivocal win for corporate efficiency and local economics.
All right.
And mathematically, looking at the vacancy rates and the infrastructure investments, it is. But if a local public high school's curriculum is being directly dictated by the real-time demands and the specific tech stacks of corporate HR departments, does public education risk becoming nothing more than a subsidized corporate training ground?
That is a very heavy question.
If we are hyper-optimizing our teenagers' schedules for Python, Rust, and supply chain logistics just to meet an industrial quota, what happens to history, the arts, or civic education? What might be fundamentally lost in our schools when the primary factor deciding what we teach is solely driven by mathematical workforce utility?
Yeah, that's the trade-off.
It brings us right back to that empty $220 million factory. Paving the roads to get the workers there is essential for the economy, absolutely. But as a society, we have to stop and ask ourselves, who is really driving the bulldozer?